Bible teaching by David Ebal is titled God's Voice.
All right, now I'm going to ask you, in preparation for this lesson, which is a very difficult lesson, I want you to agree with me in prayer. Now, how many know that in prayer, supernatural forces are brought into play on our lives, right? And I want you to agree with me in prayer for these supernatural forces to be brought into play, that the Holy Spirit will be the teacher of this lesson today, and that the Holy Spirit will give every person something brand new to go away with so that they can understand the way God's doing and act like it was their idea. And be in flow with it, and life is a lot easier that way, isn't it? So agree with me in prayer right now, would you? Father, in Jesus' name, the name of our Lord and Savior, we recognize that from you and through you and to you are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. So now, Lord, in the realm of all things, we pray that this lesson today will be a benefit to every person. We pray that these people here today will not just be like Israel, who knew the acts of God, but we pray that they'll all be like the prophets of God and Moses, who knew the ways of God. And we pray, Lord, that the ways of God, the paths of God, the way He's leading us and guiding us and moving us through different situations of life, will be so alive and real to us today that we'll be in step and in harmony with these ways, so that we're not forcing against them, that we're not grating against the way God is trying to get us to go, but we're moving smoothly with God, in step with the pattern that He's established for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Exodus, please. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. All the people saw thunderings, lightnings, the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and they stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. The people saw a pretty horrendous sight. They had a terrible experience. Can I say they were scared to death? And as I travel, people find out that I do things in prophecy and kind of what I call curly-haired stuff and supernatural things. Some people even get scared of the prophet. Have you noticed that? People, they give reverence and honor and look really scared to people who've been around God, who have operated in supernatural realms. They're scared not only of God, but also the practitioner, the one who operates in this realm. They were scared of Moses, too. Later on, we'll find out. But the people said, no, we don't want to hear from God. Now, is that true? Did you get that? We don't want to hear from God. Let not God speak with us. Moses, from now on, whenever God wants to talk to us or wants to get a point across, here's the way we want it. We would like for you to go up to the mountain and take your tape recorder. Make sure you take two cassettes in case one of the batteries are down. Yeah. And record everything he said and bring it back to us. And then run the copies and we'll listen. And that's what we'll do. How many understanding this parable? He spoke to them in parables, all right? Yeah. And so you go in that direction and we'll listen, but we don't want to go up and hear that. That is too scary for us. And he talks so loud that when you record it, would you keep the volume down? So that when we get it, we'll be able to do something with it. Because if we had to deal directly with God, we'll die. Am I coming across? Now go to chapter 19, right in front of that. Chapter 19, and I'll read from verse 3. Moses went up unto God. The Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, now you have seen what I did to the Egyptians. Now I bear you up on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, now watch this, and listen carefully. If ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenants, then ye shall be to me a peculiar treasure above all people, for all the earth
is mine.
Now, what did God say to Israel? If you will hear my voice and do what I say, then I will lead you, I will guide you, I will protect you, I will be unto you the great I am. Whatever I want to be or need to be, that's what I will be to you at that time. Now, this is the most important part. God said that he wanted to talk to every man, man to man, mouth to mouth, face to face. Have I got that point across? All right, I want to get that point across once more. All right, we just read from Exodus chapter 20, and when we read from Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 18 and 19, the people said, Moses, go talk to God, because we don't want to hear him. We don't want to listen. We do not want to hear the voice of God. It's too scary. It's supernatural. It's not in the natural realm. It's got all these kind of weird things that go along with it. I don't want God. Moses, you go talk to God for us and tell us what he said, and we'll do what you tell us he said to do. Then in chapter 19, we gave some scriptures showing that was not God's plan. But in chapter 19, verses 3 through 5, God told the people, I want to talk with you, and you, and you, and you, and you. You see what I'm doing? I want to speak with every man, individually, mouth to mouth, face to face, so that I will lead you in particular. Later on, he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, and he said, it's expedient for you that I go away so the Father can send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things, bring all things, whatever I've said, to your remembrance. It's expedient for you individually. And the Holy Spirit will be your guide, for you have no need that any man teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Right? You, every individual, you see. Now, God's original plan was to lead individual man. But man said, no. We don't want to be led individually by God. We want a hierarchy. We want a structure. We need popes, cardinals, bishops, priests. You see what I'm doing? We need people to hear from God, to interpret, analyze, and then give us rules on how to live. We can't deal with God ourselves. Now, am I coming across clear on this? Now, what's the next thing? Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came up at the same time that this, within the same context. Now, how many have heard of Jethro? How many have heard of Homer and Jethro? Now, Jethro came up, and he said, Moses, this is too much for you. This is too complex for you. The people are coming to you, and you're spending all your time with the people, telling them how to live and how to act and judge them on all these rules. Tell you what, you appoint 70 elders. Are you following this?
Yes.
Now, did God tell Moses to appoint 70 elders?
No.
Say it.
No.
Say it with your mouth.
No.
Did Jethro say, appoint 70 elders? Was Jethro an Israelite?
No.
Did he know the God of Israel?
No.
He was a Midianite. He did not know the God of Israel. Later on, we find he sacrificed to the God of Israel and said, now I know that the God of Israel is the God of gods. You follow? He finally, we'll say, got converted. But at the time, he was not even a converted person to Yahweh. He knew nothing of Elohim. You follow this? So then Moses takes the advice of one who doesn't even know our Elohim and sets 70 elders among the people. Now, haven't we in our minds kind of thought that it was God's plan to have Moses and God's plan to have the 70? Come on.
Yes.
Haven't we kind of thought? But am I kind of working at your foundation on this? Do you see what? It was not God's plan to set up Moses above the people. It was the people who chose Moses to hear from God. Then someone came off, we'll call him heathen, for lack of a better term for the moment, a Goheen, somebody didn't know anything, and brought in the idea of a further level within this pyramid or the hierarchy of the 70. Now, God has to deal with us through levels of pope, cardinals, bishops. Do you see what's happening? And we're going to show you this morning that it was never God's plan to deal with us in an ecclesiastical hierarchy. But after we set up the hierarchy, God chose to use the structure and deal with us through the structure. And somebody had better say praise the Lord for that. Because if it wasn't for the structure, there'd never been an altar, and you'd have never got some of the books and got straightened around in your thing the way you are right now anyway. You see? But it's not God's original plan, nor is it God's goal to use the structure, but he's trying to get you to use the structure to grow up within the structure so that eventually every man hears from God and talks with God, man to man, mouth to mouth, face to face. Now, can you see that in some minds, the structure is God's goal? How many know that? In we'll say most of the ministry. Can I say that? In most of the ministry, the structure is God's goal. The structure is God's tool that he uses to accomplish. But I'm trying to show you that the structure is not God's tool. The structure is a tool built by society that God chooses to use. But it's not his goal. It's not his tool. He just happened to pick it up and borrow it for a while. Now, I'm going to come clear on this. So, in this case now, in chapter 20, the people said, Moses, you go up. You hear from God, and we'll do what you say. In chapter 19, the people were told by God very plainly, if you will hear my voice and do what I say, I'll lead you. Now, most of the people here I have, in times past, dealt with in personal prophecy or some form of miraculous ministry. Am I coming across?
Yes.
All right. Now, would it be better for us to continue to be your leaders, or would it be better for us all to develop so that eventually every man becomes his own priest before God?
Amen.
You see what I'm getting at? But remember this. There is a hierarchy. There is a structure. And he has chosen to work within that structure. But he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the unity of the faith, watch the next word, till we come to the unity of the faith and the perfect man. That means the fivefold ministry is of God. Moses is of God. The 70 are of God. Am I coming clear? Till we come to the unity, the perfect man, then the structure isn't needed when we're all perfect. So our goal in the ministry should be working ourselves out of a job. I'm kind of clear on this. You won't. But would you admit that for the moment, we do need a structure? We do need a society. But that's not our goal. And this is the hardest thing. To make decisions that support our society and our structure, at the same time realizing that's not the goal. You see how hard it is? What a teeter-totter we're on. Our structure and our society and the people that minister to us and that kind of thing, that's not a goal. That's not where it is. That's only a training, a teaching, a school to take us to where we ought to be. How many are aware of the fact and would admit that there are many in the structure who teach that their 10th grade is the only place you should ever be? Did you understand that? Many of the teachers in our structured society say that our denomination and our understanding and our comprehension of things is where it is. This is God, you know, and this is the end. So don't go to the 11th grade. Stay right here with us in the 10th grade. And I feel that that is a very damaging influence. I feel that it's a damaging concept to what God is doing. But it does build structure, doesn't it? Okay. Now, in the case of the 70, I want to keep going with this concept. Jethro said, appoint 70, and these will be the elders among the people. Now, Moses, you can't handle it. It's too much for you. But you have them judge. You have them be your cardinals and your bishops and line things up that way. And God honored the structure. God used the structure. And it says he took the spirit that had been on Moses and set it severally on the 70. Now, up to that time, Moses spoke with God, man to man, mouth to mouth, face to face. If he wanted to know whether to come up or go down, turn left, turn right, eat this, stay away from that, wear this, don't wear that. You know, those are all the rules, you see. God would tell him. After that time, the Spirit was removed from Moses and given to the 70. Prior to that time, Moses saw clearly, in detail, everything that should happen. After that time, according to Numbers chapters 11 and 12, write that down, Numbers chapter 11 and 12, the Spirit dwelt individually on each of the prophets, and from that time on, the Bible says, the prophets saw darkly and spoke in dark sayings. Now, what's the difference? When Moses spoke, it was clear, it was detailed, it was firm. Eat that, don't eat that. Eat it when it's got a cloven foot, but chew the cud. But if it's got a cloven foot and doesn't chew the cud, you know what I'm talking about. Talk about detail. Moses, when you're to build me a tabernacle, it'll be a curtain of fine twine linen, and that first curtain will be 28 cubits long, 4 cubits wide. Make 5 of them, couple them together, then make 5 more, couple them together, couple them, the first set of 5 with the second set of 5 with 50 loops of blue and 50 tashes of gold. You remember all this? Talk about detail. He had it. Agree. After that, the Spirit spoke through the prophets, and the people did have prophets. But they saw darkly. They couldn't see the exact detail. They saw the form and the shape. It's like looking through a veil, and you've looked through curtains and saw something behind it, and you knew it was there, but you didn't have the detail. You didn't know whether it was blue or black. You understand? But Moses did. He saw it. He knew it was blue, it was black, or it was green, and he could tell. But the 70 couldn't. The Bible says they saw darkly. It's for that reason that sometimes people misunderstand prophecy, and they feel like, well, he wasn't hearing from God because he didn't know that there were to be 50 loops of gold. You follow that? Maybe we saw the 50 tashes of blue, but the curtain, the darkness kind of held back the 50 loops of gold, and we could just tell there were 50, but didn't know exactly what they were. You can understand that. You see where I'm coming from. And so people misunderstand now, and they think, well, he's not hearing from God, or else God would have shown him the whole thing. I'm trying to show you a pattern. God does use prophets. He does have his men in the ministry today, but they just can't see it all like Moses said, saw it all in detail, fine detail. And we see a lot of things, but not everything. And so we have to be constantly, those of us who are in the ministry and working in this realm, have to be constantly sensitive. And what's my prayer? Have you heard me say it? Lord, increase my sensitivity. Always pray, Lord, and give me my sensitivity so that I can follow you exactly and know exactly the detail that you want for us or the person I'm ministering to. So the 70, because of their gift, now this is at this stage, I want everyone to hear what I'm trying to say. Don't hear what I say. Is that all right? I may say it wrong, so hear what I'm trying to get across. The 70, because of their gift, separated themselves from the others, acting as though they were somewhat or something. And they wore different collars, different garb, different robes, and we called it the clergy or the clerical or men of the cloth. How many have heard of these? And they were separate from the others. Now, those of us who do have spiritual gifts fully realize that a spiritual gift has nothing to do with piety or saintliness. Now, let's get that straight. It has to do with our desire for the gift. Seek earnestly the best gifts. Come on. But having received gifts from God does not make the gifted person more pious or saintly. Now, let's get... Now, if you don't believe it, you go back and ask Elisha why he called the bears down to eat the kids. How about that for a pious, saintly act? Or call them fire down to scoop up 50 of those guys that came up from the king to get him to come talk, remember? He just turned them into ashes, like that. 50 more came up, and he gave them another double whammy, and they turned to ashes. 50 more came up, and that guy was smarter, and he said, oh, he said, Elisha, he said, man of God, he said, look what you did to those other guys. He said, and here I am, I'm under the king, I have to do what the king says, I go up and talk to you, and you're going to turn me into bacon? He says, deal gently with me. So he said, all right. How's that for saintly piousness? All right. What do you want? Well, the king needs you down there, and he's been talking to you, and he's got Jehoshaphat and all those from Israel and from Judah now, and they've got together, and they want to talk to you, and they want to know what to do about this thing. He said, all right, I'll go talk, and I'll do it just for you, because you came up and you asked for your life. But I might as well have got a bunch of bears to come up eat up your soldiers anyway, or something like that, like those kids. Are you seeing the picture I'm trying to get? Was he a gifted man? Was he from God? You see? But he didn't meet our ideas of proper social conduct. So now, he goes down, he talks to the king. And the king says, Elisha, O man of God, prophesy to us. And he says, no, I don't want to. The king says, Elisha, O man of God, tell us the word of the Lord. We know you have that power. We know you have that gift. We have seen it in operation.
Nope. I got the flu. I don't want
it. Was he in the spirit? How many gifted people will admit with me that the spirit comes and goes?
Amen.
Come on. We're in the spirit and we're out of the spirit. See, that's vital. You've got to see this. So now, Elisha finally says, all right. Jesus said, because of their importunity, over and over, you know what I'm talking about? Over and over again. I'll do it. And the next thing he said is, bring me a minstrel. Bring me a minstrel. He's just like Saul. Remember when Saul was out of the spirit, David would play the harps and sing the songs of Zion. And Saul would come back to his right mind. Now, no one here has ever felt that way. So we'll be teaching this for the purposes of the tape for those who might need this part of the lesson later on. But here we see a man gifted of God, a genuine, true oracle of the Yahweh. A man who knew the ways, but wasn't in step, wasn't in harmony. Now, what do you do in order to get in step or harmony? You send for a minstrel. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5, imperative command, be filled with the Spirit. That's imperative command. Fill. How?
by speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart before the Lord. Now, you start out singing in your head, but by repeating and saying the songs and psalms and spiritual songs, you move from the head to the heart. So Elisha said, send and bring me a minstrel who will sing the songs of Zion and cause me to move from my headiness, where I'm saying, no, get the bears, call down the lion, the lightning, you see what I'm doing, into the heart where God is, the truth, the eternal, the spirit. That would be the spirit, you understand, heart, innermost parts, bowels, torso organs, this is the spirit. And he said, I've got to start moving in the spirit instead of always in the head. So they began to play. We began to sing. Now, how many remember going to the church where it was two songs, the offering, the announcement, the third song, then the preaching, then, of course, he had to stop at exactly 11:59 so that at 12 o'clock when the bell rang, we could all be standing and headed out the door, huh? And we were all spiritual. Well, you see, the concept of the songs before the preaching, before the teaching, should, or at least initially, the purpose was to get us out of our minds and into the spirit heart so that we could hear from God. You see what's happening? Same with Elisha, same with us. But it's become corrupted. And now we have a system, a procedure that's based on truth, but it's got a lot of other old mysterious things that we've added, and it's become corrupted and doesn't work anymore. The 70 had the Spirit, and they did prophesy. And they set themselves apart. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And they formed a clergy, a hierarchy, and they were different from the others. Now the point is that I'm trying to get, God recognizes it and uses it, but it's not his plan. Not what he wants. And he deals with us through this hierarchy while we're little, while we're immature. But when we grow up, we discover we're all part of the hierarchy anyway, and there's no difference. So, this is a very sensitive point. Don't think that I'm against hierarchy. I recognize it. And while I'm teaching here this morning, I'm using it. And if you don't believe it, you try to interrupt me and see. Because I'm the boss. You understand that? I have the platform. I have the podium. I have the microphone. And the anointing. And if you are in the Spirit, you should have been praying for me that I will be the oracle of God for you this morning. Amen. See? And I'm very strong on that. I'm very strong on that. I am God's oracle this morning. I believe it. I must believe it, or I wouldn't be taking your time. But I am God's chosen one for this morning. Amen. You follow that? Just this morning. Now, there'll be other times when I'll be ministering to you, of course. But I'm operating under the assumption that I am God's vessel for this morning. But I am God's vessel for your perfecting so that eventually you won't have to listen to me. Right. So that eventually, then you'll have all these things lined up for yourself. And you'll be in God's ways, not following him by his acts, but his ways. How many understood that one? See, Israel knew by his acts, but Moses by the ways. The prophets know what the ways of God. And so I'm trying to train the people so that they won't need me and work myself out of a job. But the 70 worked themselves into a job. You see that? And they worked themselves into a hierarchy, into a structure. And their job was vital and important. It's the most important thing they had. Now in John chapter 12, the Bible says that the chief priests turned to the others and said, you know nothing. You're a bunch of ignorant guys. If this man continues, we'll lose our position. What's the word position?
In the fire.
Job, structure, income, Social Security, retirement plan. Why, they're going to stop sending our checks to the bank. If this man continues, he's going to lead these people so that they'll be hearing from God individually. They'll be having individual action, individual responsibility, individual authority, and they won't need us. We'll lose our job, our position. Now, that's John 12. You see what I'm doing? All right. So Jesus became a threat to the structure. But how many will agree with me that Jesus used the structure and operated within the structure? Come on. He went to the synagogue on Saturday, as was his custom. Come on. As was, see? So he always went to Sunday school on Saturday. Are you seeing how hard this is to teach this lesson? See the teeter-totter? It is a teeter-totter. It's a very difficult lesson to teach. We're not against structure. We want to use structure so that we all come to the unity of the faith of the perfect man. Now, I believe we're at the end of the age, don't you?
Yes.
So if we're coming to the end of the age, then we all will come to that point where every man is his own priest before God. And that means that at that time, when we're all priests before God, we won't need structure. But I looked you over and you still need me. Because after I looked you over, it became obvious to me that you were not manifest sons of God. Was anybody upset about that? There's nobody here mad when I just said that to you. But I want you to be a manifest son of God. I want to see the aura, the dox of the glory around your physical body. And every once in a while we see it, don't we? At times, and people like that. But we just don't see it in the fullness of what it's going to be when we see the manifest sons of God. So until that time, let me say it this way. Until you glow, you still need me. Can I say that? The 70 put on their clerical robes and set up their societies. And Joshua, the son of Nun, noticed one day, and he took account, and he went down the roll call. He got to 68, but he couldn't find two others, and he began to look around. And the Bible says, Joshua got upset. And he went up to Moses, and he said, Moses, my father, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Eldad and Medad will not wear backward collars. Eldad and Medad will not wear the robes of the clergy. Eldad and Medad will not pay dues to our denomination. Are you following this? Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Forbid them, Moses, from prophesying in the camp. Do you know what those guys are doing? They're out working, laying brick, cutting down trees, and setting down their saw, and setting down their trowel, and giving a prophecy, and then picking up the trowel and starting up again. Stop them from that. Get this division between the people and establish your gifted ones from all of Israel. And Moses said, I would to God that all God's people were prophets and were prophesied. And he allowed the Eldads and the Medads to be gifted laity. Can I do that?
Yes.
The gifted laity. Though he kept the 68 in the structure and used them, later on, David, King David, recognizing the structure, but also recognizing that the glory of God had departed because they had to name Ichabod. How many remember Ichabod? For the glory of the Lord had departed. David then went to get the glory of God in the ark, brought the ark not to Gibeon, where the priests were. Can you follow the 70?
Mm-hmm.
that brought the glory of God back to Jerusalem and set up the tabernacle of David. When he set up the tabernacle of David, it was a partial fulfillment. But how many will agree with me that in the book of Acts it says, at Pentecost, this is when I will fully rebuild the tabernacle of David. Come on.
Oh, yes.
James told it in reference to Peter and the whole thing. And he said, that's when I'm going to rebuild the tabernacle of David again.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.